To start things off, let me introduce you to James Scurlock. He has made a documentary called Maxed Out. And there's a book that goes along with it, a companion book, also called Maxed Out, subtitled Hard Times, Easy Credit, and the Era of Predatory Lenders. James, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And thank you for not being sick.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Next week, when we have our federal taxes due in this country, 20% of every tax dollar we pay to the federal government is going to go to finance our national debt.
Right.
Is that an indicator of the problems that you're talking about in your movie and in your book?
Absolutely. You know, I think we've used credit for so long as a crutch and just borrowed money to get by another month or another year or another day. And at some point, you know, the bills come due, or at some point you're just spending so much money on interest. You know, we spend more money on interest on the national debt than Homeland Security and education on the federal level combined. So we're really starting to pay the price for all this borrowing and all this, you know, pushing the day of reckoning back a little bit further.
But your book, I've read the book, but I haven't seen the movie yet. The book really is about people who have suffered at the hands
right.
of what you call predatory lenders.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, we're all hearing the numbers now about these mortgages going bad and the bankruptcy rate 10 times what it was during the Great Depression and the foreclosure rate the highest in 40 years and so on. But I'm really focused on the stories behind those numbers, because we tend to hear those numbers and talk about the economy and talk about these abstract things, but I was really curious to see how people were really affected.
So what's changed in the last generation? Because I really do believe it to be a generational thing. You know, I mean,
yeah.
if you go back to the Depression era, you know, my mom, who's 84 years old, she grew up at a time where if you had money, you had money. You didn't have debt. You didn't have credit. You didn't overspend. You didn't borrow money to buy things that you really wanted
right.
because she came from a time where it could all come tumbling down.
Right.
And then you get to my generation, which some of us learned a little bit about what to do with money. Some of us didn't, and it took me a long time myself to do that. And then we have our kids' generation, who I think are continuing or worsening our saving and spending ways.
Right. Well, you know, back in the 1920s, it wasn't all that different from the way it is now. The interest-only mortgage was the most popular mortgage. A lot of people were spending money they didn't have. The banks were flooding the country with easy credit, and then we had the Depression, and the banking system nearly imploded. It nearly, you know, shut down. So we've gotten a long time away from that now, and I think that has to do with some of the behavior. But what I saw that's really changed in the last generation is how the credit industry, how the banking industry sells credit. And there's just been a revolution in how that's done, and how people who can't really afford this credit are not only targeted but really pushed and pushed and pushed with credit cards and mortgages and refinancings and auto loans and all sorts of things that eventually get them in trouble.
Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong with any of those financial instruments you just mentioned. People need mortgages to get a home. They need a loan to buy a car. They need credit cards to get by month to month. Are you talking about the fact that the interest rates on these things can be so high that it makes it prohibitive for anybody ever to get back from being upside down on their own finances?
Well, I'm talking about a lot of things. That's one thing, certainly. I mean, the interest rates and the fees have gotten so outrageous now that people get into trouble very, very quickly. But, you know, also talking about just the way that these things are sold, the banking industry used to be a big part of the solution. You know, they used to verify their customers' income. They used to verify that their customers could pay the mortgage or pay the auto loan, pay the credit card. And they're not doing that anymore. So most people still think if they get an offer in the mail or if they get approved for something, that means they can afford to pay it back, because why else would the bank extend them this credit?
Is there any credit card mailing that doesn't go out that isn't already pre-approved? Every single one I get, you're pre-approved for this, you're pre-approved
sure.
for that. Is there anyone who's ever, you're pre-denied?
You're pre-denied. You know, once I get one of those, I'll know that the system is changing and things are getting better. But no, there really isn't. And I don't know if you noticed this, but all the mailers, too, say 0%, and all the online things, you get 0%. You know, it's all free. And obviously it's not, but people are, you know, are being let in. It's bait and switch. You know, at the end of the day, they end up paying very, very high fees, very high interest rates, and, you know, eventually they max out.
But are you saying that the system has changed from making sure that they only loan money to people who can pay it back to now loaning money to people who they know can't pay it back?
Well, you're loaning to everybody. Look, it's such a profitable business. It's so profitable that you just go after everyone. But the most popular customers are the ones who are the most profitable. You know, this is about making money. It's not about teaching people to save or teaching people to be responsible. And it used to be about that. You know, it used to be about loaning to someone like a mortgage who would pay it off, and they'd have a mortgage burning party. You know, and you're teaching them to build equity in their house and to save money. Well, now it's all about refinance the equity in your house. You know, use the value of your home to spend and spend and spend. And we've got this economy now that's based on people losing the equity in their homes, which is just completely absurd.
But there are mortgage companies that are doing fixed-rate mortgages at low interest rates, and when people do refinance some of that high-interest credit card debt and other things in their lives, they're turning their lives to the correct path as opposed to those who got caught up in those adjustable-rate mortgages that have really screwed people the last couple of years.
Right, but, you know, Alan Greenspan was encouraging people to do those adjustable-rate mortgages 3 years ago, February, you know, came out and told people they should manage their own interest rate risk or something like that, you know, and get into these arms, which is really fascinating when you think about this guy being so trusted and really being the spokesperson for the banking industry, telling people to get into mortgages that are now landing them in so much trouble only a few years later.
It's News Talk 1120 KMOX. Paul Harris talking with James Scurlock. His movie is called Maxed Out. The book that goes with it is also called Maxed Out, Hard Times, Easy Credit, and the Era of Predatory Lenders. But where does personal responsibility come into play here? I mean, these people who are signing this, they are adults. They are capable of reading. They are putting their name down on a piece of paper. If they're not reading it and understanding it, is it really anybody else's fault but theirs?
Well, sometimes they're adults, sometimes they're not. I mean, I got my first credit card when I was in college. And I think before you get to your first class, now the average college student gets 8 credit card offers. But yeah, for, you know, people who are adults who sign these things are always told, you know, you're responsible. It was your signature on that piece of paper, and that's absolutely true. The trouble is, like with a credit card, for example, the terms and conditions can be changed at any time for any reason by the bank. So, you know, someone may come in thinking they get one interest rate. It could double or triple for any reason, you know, or the fees can pile up for any reason. There are all sorts of games that are played to get a few more dollars out of you and me, and people just don't know what they're getting into. I mean, we talked to a Harvard Law School professor who teaches contracts at Harvard Law School. She couldn't make sense of her credit card agreement. And now we've got mortgages that are so exotic and so complicated and sometimes so convoluted that even the bankers selling them don't know what they mean sometimes.
Do you look at some of these companies as loan sharks?
Well, that's a really interesting question, and you know, I tried to interview people from the industry, and I did get a hold of a couple of people, and I asked them, how do you define loan sharking now? Because you guys are charging such high interest rates and such high fees, you know, loan sharks of a generation ago would have been envious. So how do you define that now? And they won't define it. And a lot of these banks, you know, like Wells Fargo, Citigroup, HSBC, the biggest banks all have subprime lending divisions where they've bought subprime financing companies. So the line between the bank that you could really trust and the financing company that would rip you off has been totally blurred. And I don't think most people know who to trust anymore.
Is all of this because we have a lack of financial education in this country?
No, I don't think it is. I think it's because the contracts themselves have gotten so complicated that no one can understand them. You know, there's a math professor at MIT who tried to duplicate how his interest was charged on his credit card, and he couldn't do it. You know, it's just gotten so complex.
But wait a second. Hold on, James. Isn't there an easy way around that, which is pay your credit card off every month? You don't have to worry about interest.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you can afford to pay your credit card bill off every month, you're one of the 30% of Americans who are very, very fortunate and will usually get out of paying interest or a late fee, provided they never, you know, make a mistake or go on vacation and forget to, you know, to pay by the due date, or, you know, their check doesn't get stuck in the...
Or you're one of the Americans who has decided not to overspend. That's really the heart of the problem here. You got people buying houses they can't afford, cars they can't afford, all sorts of things that they don't really, really need, but that they really, really want. And they figure, well, you know, I'll get a loan, or I'll put it on my credit card, and I'll make up for it later on.
Well, you know, certainly that's a problem. But if you look at why people, look at the most desperate people, the people who go into bankruptcy. You know, the studies all show they went into bankruptcy because they had a medical emergency, they got divorced, they lost their job, you know, they had an issue with their kids. So, you know, if you don't want to get into financial trouble these days, don't lose your job, don't have kids, don't do things that most of us take for granted and consider part of our lives. Don't get sick. There's a lot of people out there who never considered having a credit card who suddenly get sick. They don't have insurance, or their insurance doesn't cover certain things, or they have a very high copay or deductible, and they end up getting a medical credit card, which are now sold. You know, so
what's a medical credit card?
Well, a medical credit card was introduced because so many hospitals and doctors are getting stiffed by their patients. So they thought, well, instead of making sure people are better insured or more insured, we'll just give them a credit card if they can't make their payment, and that way we'll get paid, and the bank or the credit card company will take on the risk, which sounds like a great idea. But, you know, if you end up with a really big medical bill that you can't pay and you get one of these cards, well, for a year they'll give you a pretty good rate, maybe 8%. But after a year, if you haven't paid that thing off, it goes up to 24-30%. So, you know, after a year, which isn't much time, you're suddenly in a whole lot more trouble than you were in the first place.
Talking today with James Scurlock, who's got a documentary and a book, both called Maxed Out, Hard Times, Easy Credit, and the Era of Predatory Lenders. You know, you go to the department store, you just want to buy a pair of pants, and you go to the register, and before you can pay for it, they try to convince you to take the store's credit card. Have you applied for the store's credit card? Because if you use our store's credit card, you'll get a 10% discount on this pair of pants. And then we'll have you in our database, and you'll be getting mailings from us for the rest of your life. Isn't that part of the extension of the credit world that you're talking about, James?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, Target, which isn't exactly a high-end retailer, makes a third of its profits from its credit card division now. And it's by far the fastest-growing part of its business. So at some point, Target's going to make more money financing people's purchases than selling them anything.
Is that because they charge high interest on their credit cards?
Yeah, I mean, because credit card lending is just so profitable. You've got the interest rates, you've got the fees, and it just adds up and up and up.
You allude in the book to bank executives sowing the seeds of their own destruction.
Right. I mean, I looked back at the 1920s, and there's so many similarities to today, and the banks were making money hand over fist, and they were encouraging people to buy and buy and buy. And, you know, eventually that ended badly because eventually people do max out and they just can't pay anymore.
When you were making the movie, did you borrow any money?
I didn't. You know, I think it was reported that I'd maxed out my credit cards making the film, but that's thankfully that's not true.
Because we have heard of other filmmakers who've done exactly that.
Oh, sure. I'm here in Los Angeles, and it's a cliche here. There's people everywhere with little digital cameras, and there's, you know, the next Steven Spielberg's just getting money any way they can to make a film.
That's how some small businesses are getting into business now. They used to go to the bank,
right?
Talk them into giving them a loan, and now they're just putting it on their credit card.
Yeah, in fact, the Small Business Administration just finished a very interesting study about that, saying that most of the small businesses that used to go to the bank and rely on a, you know, loan with fixed payments and a decent interest rate are now being pushed into credit cards, so they're getting into this racket as well.
Now, you just used that word, that phrase, pushed into credit cards.
Right.
Are they really being pushed that way, or do they see it as the easiest and cheapest alternative rather than having to put together some paperwork and go to convince some guy in a suit to give them money?
Well, I say pushed because that's, you know, that's literally what they're being convinced and told to do, and it is the easiest thing by far. I mean, I think if you or I tried to start a small business and went down to the bank to get, you know, to get a small business loan, we'd probably be denied. But if we applied for the credit card that's pre-approved or whatever, we'd get very, very, very quickly.
We're going to include your phone calls in a moment here, 314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. What can individuals do about this?
Well, I think, you know, as you said, it really does come down to personal responsibility at the end of the day. I think the sad thing is that people are learning they can't trust their bank anymore. So people are just going to have to be very, very wary. I was talking to a journalist the other day who had arranged a fixed rate 30-year mortgage with Wells Fargo, and she went into closing and they changed it to an interest-only loan. You know, so now she has to go back. But, you know, they're just pushing the most profitable products they can at you, and people have to be really savvy.
Wait a second. How could they change it without her approval? She didn't sign it.
Well, they changed it before she'd signed it. And then they tried to convince her that the interest only was a smarter deal because, you know, the home would go up in value and, you know, on and on and on and on, and she could refinance it later. And she said, no, I want the fixed rate 30 years. So they had to do the paperwork all over again.
So she was paying attention to her own life.
She was, you know, and most of us aren't that financially savvy. Most of us aren't, you know, investment bankers, and unfortunately, we're having to do a lot of the work now.
314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. Craig, you're on the Paul Harris Show. Say hi to James Scurlock.
Hello, James.
Hi.
Yeah, I've got a real problem, really, with all these banks and credit card companies that are constantly filling the mailbox with these pre-approved credit cards. They come at you totally unsolicited.
Right.
I have three kids that are just in, you know, 20, 22, 23, and 19. And I remember 19 years ago when my five-year-old son had a pre-approved American Express card sent to him.
Yeah.
And I just don't, I mean, on top of the credit issue, what about the identity theft issue? When these things come at you, it's totally unsolicited. And I kid you not, I bet you I get 15 to 20 of these in my mailbox a week.
You know, I just canceled my Visa card because not only were they sending me, you know, these things, they were sending me convenience checks.
Yeah, exactly.
All the time. And I don't have a shredder, so I don't know what to do with them. So I canceled the card, and now I get an application pre-approved for that same card two or three times a week. It's just completely...
It's unbelievable, and I don't know if there could ever be any legislation against these companies, much like the no-call list.
Craig, what are you talking about, legislation? Your son was the richest kid in kindergarten.
You're telling me.
I'm glad you called. James, what about legislation? What about the government getting in here? Do you want them to restrict rates and lending policies?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of activity in Washington recently. In the last 3 or 4 weeks, the Senate Banking Committee called up the CEOs and beat them up a little bit. But as far as legislation, I really doubt it because Congress is very scared of this industry. You know, they get a lot of money from them, but they're also scared that in this consumerist economy, in this economy where I think 70% of the economy is based on people spending, that if they regulate too much, you know, come down too hard on these companies, then this credit will sort of dry up and people will stop spending and the economy will go into recession or worse.
God forbid people get their finances in order.
Exactly, because then, you know, what would happen?
America would fall apart if we all stopped spending more money than we could possibly ever have.
Sure. I mean, that's, and to be honest, that's a big, big fear in Washington.
Mike, say hi to James. Mike, are you there?
Hi there, James. Sorry about that.
That's
okay. I, you know, love these credit cards. I've got over 60,000 in credit card debt, but the highest I pay is 3.9, the lowest is 2.9, so I average 3.5%. That's fixed. I can make more money than that just in, you know, money markets. So I transfer as much as I can onto credit cards and other cards I have too. I just charge on and get money back. So it's a great deal for
me. So he's got a credit card money-making scheme, James. What do you say to that?
It works great.
I'd say more power to him if he can make it work.
Okay. God forbid anything bad happens in his life, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. But
all right. Thanks for calling. Here's George on KMOX. Hi.
Hi, Paul. Hi, James.
Hey.
I got about four quick items. I'll try to make them fast. Number one, I had a neighbor, and I was having Alzheimer's problems, and I used to help her make her payments, write her checks for her, and the least amount they wanted every month was $10 on any bill. I've just looked up my own December bill last month, and I am fortunate that I have no debt, but I do put it on a charge to get a rebate. However, I also find that my December bill, which was $400 on a credit card, they only wanted $10. That's all they ever want, and you could never pay that off if you paid it. Also, there's loans out there now for cars and mortgages. I can understand that, but not for pool tables and boats, as I've seen lately. The other thing is, pay off the loan. There's a commercial now going on that says if you pay off, if you owe over $10,000, they can take care of you. Yes, they will. I called one of them just for the hell of it and said, gee, I only have $8,000 in debt. Can you help me? Can I charge you another $2,000 and then I'll meet your minimum?
Yeah.
And they wouldn't answer me and they wouldn't talk to me unless I left them my name and my phone number. There's one more area, and I'll just get into it briefly. This payday loan routine. where the people go with their paycheck and they get a loan, and all of a sudden they're paying 20, 30, 40, I don't know what percent, way, way up there. I feel very lucky I don't have any bills at all. No mortgage, no car payment, no nothing.
All right, George, I'm glad you called. James, those payday loans are the most predatory of all, aren't they?
Yeah, those really are the worst. I mean, you're talking about getting into 400%, 500% interest sometimes. And, you know, President Bush just had to pass through this legislation that limited what military families can be charged at 36%. It's the only federal usury law in this country that members of the military and their families can't be charged more than 36%.
Why does it only apply to members of the military?
It applies to members of the military because the military has been having so many problems losing the security clearances of soldiers who get into credit card debt and payday lending problems and other financial problems that they had to come in and do something about it.
But my question is, if the federal government can offer protection for soldiers, why can't it offer protection for the other 299 million?
You know, that's a great question, and all the consumer advocates are asking it very loudly right now.
Yeah, one of my favorite things is when I get these credit card offers that say, and you'll get 1% back on your purchases. Yeah, but you're charging me 13% interest.
Sure.
Or more.
Yeah, they're not giving it away.
Here's Scott on KMOX. Hi.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. Great program.
Thank you.
I have a question for your guest, but I need to give you a little background so you know where this story is coming from. My mom had a very good job about 9 years ago, and she was laid off, no fault of her, because of the dot-com crash. And she was unable to find a job for about almost 2 years, because of her age and some other things. In the meantime, she had a medical problem, incurred some medical expenses, and then she finally found a job, only paying, the best she could do was paying $9 an hour. And so she used her credit cards to live off of and to help cover her expenses. Recently, she's been gone after. Credit card hound dogs are going after her and everything else. And they offered her last year to go ahead and reduce what she owed by 50%. But it was more than what she originally owed.
Sure.
Because of penalties and late fees and all the other stuff, it racked up the whole bunch. So to make a long story short, she went in and accepted the offer. She paid it off. This past year, she got a 1099 for the difference.
Right.
And she had to pay that in taxes. How can that be right?
I don't think it is right. You know, I think it's scandalous, to be honest with you. Because
they wrote that off.
Yeah, I mean, the name of the game is charge people so much in interest and so much in fees that even if they max out, you know, a couple of years, a few years down the road, you've still made a lot of money off of them. And then when they default, when they don't pay it, you can write that whole thing off, negotiate with them or farm it out to a bill collector and get maybe half of it back or something. So you've come out great, and then you charge them for the taxes on the other amount as if they'd, you know, as if they'd made that money.
All right.
I don't think it makes any sense at all.
Is there anything that can be done about that?
I'm sorry?
The only thing that can be done about it is if there's legislation that prevents them from doing that. Before I let you go here, the movie is not opened in St. Louis yet. I'm looking forward to it when it does so that I can see it. I've looked through the book here, and before I let you go, James, I'd like you to tell one story about some of these debt collectors who I know that you put your camera right in their face and they told
right.
you they told you as if they were proud
right.
about what they do to collect from people. Tell one of those stories, if you would.
Well, you know, I think they are very proud. The two guys we talked to were very young, intelligent men, and they're really at the sort of Wild West, the frontier of the financial industry now, which is debt buying and debt collecting. You can go out there and buy some bad debt for pennies on the dollar, get an internet connection, and start just dialing people's phone numbers. If you have a link to the credit bureaus, you can pull up their credit report. You can pull up what's called a skip trace, which has all kinds of information about them and their neighbors and relatives and employers and everything else, and be very intimidating. So one of these guys called himself a debt pirate, and he said, you know, when I collect, I imagine I'm this pirate, and the trick is to walk that person out on the plank, you know, get them right to the edge, but then pull them back in. You don't want them to go overboard, but you really want to scare the pants off of them and then sort of bring them back so you can get what you want from them. And that's the name of the game.
And they'll actually go after the neighbors to spread the word about somebody who has so much debt to scare them, right?
No, absolutely, because it's so much more embarrassing. And you know, there's some laws that say you can't really tell this person, you know, who you are, but you can insinuate, and it becomes very clear. And if your neighbors are telling you that the debt collector's calling, if your boss is telling you that, you know, that there's a problem, you're going to be very, very intimidated.
The book and the movie are both called Maxed Out, Hard Times, Easy Credit, and the Era of Predatory Lenders. There are links to both of them on my website, harrisonline.com. James, thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
James Scurlock here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.